You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hey, neighbor.
I flat out am your neighbor now. It's amazing that now I live 15 minutes from your house. That is just quite remarkable.
Very fun. Yeah. So for like a week and a half, we've been neighbors. Yes. And it is really fun getting to have you guys so close. And I think like one of my favorites is just like yesterday when me and the kids popped over for a couple hours in the afternoon, it was just like, this is just so, it was fun. So we're so glad you're here, Dad.
Well, sure are. And for our listeners, Laura and I both are co-located now in Orange County, California, in Southern California. So she has lived here with her husband and kids for a long time, and Janet and I just moved here a couple of weeks ago. So it's a lot of fun. I could tell I was in California when I went to my first church guys group, our small group last night, and half of the men who are in their 60s were talking about going surfing. And I thought, you know, in North Carolina, in central North Carolina, this never happened, that men in their 60s in a small group were talking about going surfing. Half the conversation was on surfing and half was on pickleball.
That's so hilarious.
I think those are the sports of mature men in Orange County, I guess.
It is a very active lifestyle here, so it might be time for a new hobby, I guess.
I guess so.
With all your new buddies. That's so fun.
Well, I might get to pickleball, but the day that you see me out there surfing, you know it's time to check me in somewhere.
That's hilarious. Your wetsuit and the whole bit.
Oh my gosh, the world is just not ready for that. No.
Oh man, that's hilarious. Well, I don't quite know how to segue, so we'll just roll with it.
To anything from that.
Yeah. But just like we're excited that you moved here, I'm also excited for our topic today, which is how's your prayer life? And so I'm looking forward to talking about this with you and kind of thinking through the practicals of like how to pray more and how to understand prayer more. So I'm just going to toss it to you and kind of have you lay the foundation. What have you learned about Christians and prayer, or kind of give us some opening thoughts?
Yeah, Christians and prayer, I'll just say it. It's generally just a mess. You know, like we tend to just feel badly about our prayer life. You know, someone asks how your prayer life is going, and it's just like, oh well, you know, I haven't prayed like in 100 years, or or we, you know, give the response of, man, I've got it completely squared away, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this, and I do this. And it causes you to think, well, you know, isn't this a dialogue? How come you're doing everything? And so you hear that. And then sometimes, you know, we're just oblivious. Like we just forget, not so much that we ought to pray, though there is a ought component in it, but that we have the privilege to pray, that we have the privilege to talk to God our Father. So again, it seems like people either feel very, very badly about it, or they've got it down to just this infallible system that's generally all about them. Or it's just, gosh, I haven't thought about praying in 10 years kind of thing.
Yeah, no, that's interesting. And I feel like I can relate to each of those, you know, at different points, you know, kind of like erring on different sides. So that's really interesting. What you're describing sounds so like guilt-driven and dutiful. Yeah. And yet, like, I think on some level, most, if not all Christians realize, like, this is amazing, you know, like that we get to talk to the creator of the universe who actually cares about us and wants a relationship with us. And I think we all want a prayer life that's joyful and meaningful. So I guess my first question is, what is going wrong when we think about prayer this way? Like, what aren't we understanding?
Yeah. Well, I think one of the reasons why a lot of times it's such a mess is, like you said, we forget what it is. Like, even the whole thing about prayer life.
Huh.
Like, you know, I don't quite know how we came up with the idea of, that we call it prayer life. It seems like maybe what we should say is, instead of how's your prayer life, we should say, have you talked to your dad lately?
Huh.
Because that's really what this is talking to your father. So I think a lot of it is we forget what it is. I think the other part is we just come to a place where cynically we don't believe there's any value. You know, maybe we've prayed for things in the past and the Lord did not see fit to respond to them the way we'd hoped. Maybe we've been really disappointed in life. And here's one that I find in my own self is,
okay,
I just don't want to humble myself. Like, I just don't want to go to God and say, I need your help. I don't want to go to God and say, I am really stressed out right now and I don't know what to do. Or, you know, for those sins that just dog us through our lives, we don't want to go to God and say, God, you know, I did it again.
Yeah.
You know? And so sometimes as we forget what it is, sometimes we're just kind of cynical because maybe we have been disappointed in the past. But then sometimes it's just we don't want to humble ourselves and tell our Father again how much we need Him and what we need of Him, especially sometimes forgiveness and repentance.
Yeah, no, that's so good. And one, I loved what you said about, especially with the sins that kind of, like you said, dog us through our lives, that how, yeah, it is. It's hard to believe for me sometimes that, like, I can go back to God again. Like, and I think, yeah, sometimes I don't want to, and sometimes it's almost like I just can't believe God's not, like, on some level annoyed, you know?
Yes.
You know? Yeah. And so I feel bad about it. I pray that I'll change, but I don't want to actually, like, so it's like, I'll pray, like, help me to do this thing, but, like, the actual repentance of, like, yeah, having to say that again, like, I have gotten off track again. And like, I feel like what you're getting to that is, like, good for me to think about is, like, what do I actually believe about God? You know, like, do I actually believe that He wants me to pray to Him about this? And He actually isn't mad at me. He actually has patience. I don't know. What were you going to say?
No, that's right. And I think, you know, I think men especially, men just want to fix things.
Mm-hmm.
And so we want to fix our needs. We want to fix our sin.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a man, to go to God once or maybe twice and say, yeah, God, I really need your help on this. You know, we can kind of do that. Or, God, I need your forgiveness on this sin, or I need your forgiveness on this sin again. But, you know, when it's like the 51st time.
Yeah.
That as a man, we're going to God saying, I need your help or I need your forgiveness. We're just like over it. We're just like, I don't want to feel that vulnerability. I don't want to feel that failure. I don't want to feel that neediness. It just, and especially with men, I think it makes it really hard for us to be vulnerable in our prayers to God as our Father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's interesting. Well, so what has helped you to approach prayer in a different way? Like, what have you come to understand?
Well, I really just have had to come to redefine it. You know, like, what is it? Like, I think that you're always on safe ground when you're trying to define things to go to, like, the Westminster Catechism, because it's such a great summary of biblical teaching. And so if you go to the Westminster Catechism and look up what is prayer. Oh, and by the way, for those of you who are from a religious tradition that doesn't use catechisms or confessions, you should check them out sometime. They are amazing, just what an amazing summary of the teaching of Scripture with all kinds of scriptural footnotes and references. But anyhow, if you go to the Westminster Catechism and the one on prayer, it says, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ, by the help of His Spirit, with confession of our sins, and thankful acknowledgement of His mercy. So I'll say that again. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ, by the help of His Spirit, with confession of our sins, and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. And I think that's really good. And you know, if you read that as kind of a mechanistic checklist, then you're kind of missing the point.
Yeah.
But more, it's just a reminder of what is prayer. And again, if you go to Westminster Catechism, look up this question and answer, it will give you all the scriptural support verses that the Westminster, as they call them, the divines who wrote this, had as they were drafting this definition. So again, prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God in the name of Christ by the help of His Spirit, with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of His mercies. But you know, Laura, I have to get it even simpler than that. And so that's like a good start for me. But here's the one that has helped me the most. What is prayer? It's a simple conversation between a child and his or her father. So it's a simple conversation between a child and his or her father. And so it's simple. It's a conversation in that both are speaking, both child and father. And the roles here are, I'm a child, I'm his child, and he's my father. And you might say that prayer is more than that, maybe, but I don't think it can be anything less than that.
Well,
it's just a simple conversation. So again, if you ask someone, how's your prayer life, you're going to get one set of answers. If you ask them, have you talked to your dad lately? You're going to get a different set of answers because it's a whole different orientation.
Yeah. Well, and so can you flesh out a little bit more, like when you say a simple conversation between a child and his or her father, like, I guess what's the implication of that? Like just that it's like, it's simple, like it's nothing fancy. You can talk about anything. Like what do you mean when you say that?
Well, like you know, say for me today, going to God and saying, you know, God, I thank you for all that you've done for me. I thank you for how faithful you've been to me. And I want you to know that, God, even after having moved here and how glorious this has been to get relocated to Southern California, I'm still dealing with a lot of stress in my heart. And so, God, I need your help. I need you in the name of Christ. I need you to come to me, help me to understand how to work through the stressful feelings that I'm dealing with. And God, if it's associated with sin, help me to know that. And God, I'll look to you to speak to me, you know, by your word and through your Spirit. And then since it's a conversation, then I really do look to him for that. I really do think and ask him to remind me of scriptures that would help me to understand that I need to remember about him in dealing with stress, and just any promptings of the Spirit that are in line with his word, that would also, you know, strengthen and encourage me. So it's just a simple, honest conversation.
Yeah,
I think that's what it is.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that.
Oh, you bet.
Well, and like going to scripture, like what do we, like even when you started like talking about, I was talking to our Father, I was thinking, you know, like the Lord's Prayer, starting that way. So what do we learn about prayer through the Lord's Prayer?
Well, we learn a lot, and it starts out, it starts out negative, which is interesting. I'm going to read Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13.
Mm-hmm.
And this is in the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says, and when you pray, and then he starts telling you what not to do, you must not be like the hypocrites. For they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. So it's interesting, he's already kind of sussing out or kind of revealing that one of the ways we get misdirected in prayer is as we begin to pray with a consciousness of others' opinions.
Huh, yeah.
Like how they will think about this prayer, or how they will think about that I'm a prayerful person.
Yeah.
Or that kind of stuff. And he's saying, you can't do it that way.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, truly I say to you, they have received their reward. So it's like whatever they think they got from that, that's what they got, because I'm not giving them anything else. And he says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door. And then it says, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Which is so interesting. It's like this is a conversation and it's only between two people. It's between the child and their father.
Mm-hmm.
It says, pray to your Father who is in secret. And then again, he uses the word Father. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do. So again, this is what you don't do.
Mm-hmm.
For they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them. And again, he speaks of the Father. For your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Which just kind of cuts through it all. And it's like, you don't need to turn this into like some oration.
Yeah.
God already knows what you need. You just need to put in simple words, you know, in a private context, God, this is where I'm at. This is what I need.
Yeah.
And so then after he's gotten through telling you what not to do, then he says, then pray like this. And it begins with our Father. So again, it's your Father, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And I think that you know, our Father in heaven, that's to whom we're praying. And then really the next phrase is a summary of everything, and that is, hallowed be your name. So it's the idea that, God, more than anything that my heart is longing for right now, more than anything, may you be honored and glorified, may you be hallowed. And then the kind of give emphasis to what that might look like, your kingdom come, which means not necessarily my kingdom, and your will be done, not necessarily my will, on earth as it is in heaven. And so with that kind of setting things straight and clear and simple, then it's so, give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also forgive. And lead us not to temptation. Very basic, straightforward. This is what I need. All in the context of a private conversation between the father and child. Yeah. Wonderful, wonderful passage.
Yeah. No, that's really good. Well, and you kind of surprised me, because I thought you were going to start with like the, you know, like, I don't know what verse it is, but like, you know, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. But like, you kind of were getting at like the verses before that of even our heart and like our, like our orientation towards God is a huge part of prayer, you know? And it's encouraging because honestly, some of the things he was saying don't do are exactly the things I most struggle with. Is like, as you were talking, I was like, oh gosh.
Like, here we go.
Yeah, this is exactly the problem with me, you know, like, anyways. And so, but just like, but even then, like, all like the thing to do is like, God, you already know my heart, but like, here yes. I am. And like, I want to want what you want. I want to, you know, value you above everything else. So, and just, and I guess that's the thing of prayer is like, and only you could do that, you know?
Yes.
So, anyways, that, but that was interesting where you started with that, because that wasn't exactly what I thought you were going to say. Well, and so in the Bible, I mean, obviously Jesus is the ultimate example of what God wants in our prayers. See, you know, all kinds of people approaching God in prayer and God responding to them. Like you said earlier, it's not just a one-sided, you know, like we go through our list, check, 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 but it's like God responding, whether that's through providing guidance and wisdom or like providing for practical needs. And sometimes that happened audibly, but sometimes not. So like, I'm curious to hear more, even what you were describing about this morning when you were feeling stressed. Like, what does that look like, or how can we have those kinds of prayer conversations with God?
Well, again, we tend to think that my prayer life is all about me talking to God.
Yeah.
And that is part of it. But we have assurance from Scripture that He speaks to us as well. And in Jeremiah chapter 33, we're going to focus on verse 3, but we'll read verses 1 and 2. You'll get that Jeremiah the prophet is in prison when this is going on. But it says, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah a second time while he was still shut up in the court of the guard. Thus says the Lord who made the earth, the Lord who formed it to establish it. The Lord is his name. So again, he's getting really clear about who this is. Like Jesus was really clear, this is your Father. And he's getting real clear, this is the Lord, not just any Lord, but the one who made the earth.
Yeah.
Made who formed it, the one who formed it. And then he says, call to me and I will answer you. And will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Let me say that again. Call to me and I will answer you. Doesn't just say I'll hear you. It says I'll answer you and you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. And to be clear, you know, we understand from the Bible that primarily the way that God speaks to us is by the Holy Spirit speaking to us from the Word of God. So we pray about something, and then God reminds us of a scripture passage that we've read in the past that gives us guidance in that. Or we pray about something, and then the next morning in our quiet time, we're reading something, and it's just like right there, just kind of guidance or the answer to what we're looking for. And then sometimes God does guide us through what I guess I would call, others have called, inner promptings of the Spirit. And I think those are you know, biblically relevant or biblically prevalent, but we do have to make sure that whatever we're thinking is a prompting from the Spirit is always in line with the whole teaching of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Because the Spirit will prompt us in different ways. The Spirit will never prompt us in a way that is divergent of what the Word of God would tell us. So I think what we're trying to get at here is, as we're talking to God, we need to also be listening. And sometimes I just blow right by this.
Yeah.
And I just think, well, this is all about me kind of dumping on God, and then I walk away and and worry about it the rest of the day. And I think what God's saying is, okay, I want you to talk to me, and then I want you to listen. And I'm going to remind you of things. I'm going to tell you great and hidden things that you have not known.
Mm-hmm.
And that is such, you know, one of the great passages of Scripture where God talks that He will guide us, that He will point us in the path.
Yeah. Hmm. Man. That's good, Dad. Well, and so I have one more quick question,
yeah.
And I know we're getting tight on time, but just kind of in closing, so what is your final, like, encouragement or advice to someone who's listening today that feels like, you know, my prayer life is broken? So, you know, like, what would you say in that instance?
Well, the first thing I would say is don't try to fix it on your own. You need to run to Jesus.
Yeah.
You know, I think that sometimes we'll just double down and say, okay, well, it's all screwed up right now, so I'm going to pray 30 minutes tomorrow, or I'm going to come up with a 300-point prayer list or something like that. So don't do that. Go to God and say, God, it's broken again. My communication mm-hmm. with you, my coming to you, my dependence upon you, my sharing my needs with you, my praise and worship of you, because prayer is not just asking.
Mm-hmm.
It's also praise and worship. It's also confessing sin. It's praying for others. So it's not just a, you know, here's what I want kind of thing.
Yeah.
But going to God and just admitting, I need your help, God. I think another point is especially asking Him to help you to keep prayer simple.
Like
just a child with his father talking over things and listening to the Father.
Yeah.
One thing that helps me is to have some daily prayer prompts. And so I have in my Google Calendar each day, I have a list of things that I pray per day. Like every Thursday, I pray certain things, and every Friday. And so I have that as an ongoing thing in my Google Calendar. So when I'm having my quiet time, I can just click on that and it reminds me. And the thing that that helps me with is I know that I want to pray over a lot of things, but I don't need to pray over them every day.
Mm-hmm.
And so it helps me to spread around the needs of things that I pray for.
Yeah.
So I think having some prayer prompts can be helpful. And then the last thing I'll mention, and this is going to get to our show notes for this, is I have really found it helpful to use the prayers of what I would call saints of old, basically those who have gone on before us, who often give us words to pray that represent what we want to say to God, or maybe what we ought to say to God, but how we just don't quite know how to put into words.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, we're recording this on Thursday. Every Thursday, I read through and pray through some prayers of Christians from earlier days that are around commitment. And these are kind of prayers of dedication. And so there's about 8 or 10 of them. And what we're going to do for our show notes for this podcast is we'll have access to just a simple document that has 8 or 10 prayers from Christians of other days that the listeners can download and can use as a way to put into words things they want to say to God, or maybe ought to say to God, but just don't know quite how to. So just sum that up. Don't try to fix it on your own. Run to Jesus. Ask for His help in keeping it simple. Conversation between a child and father. Maybe use some daily prayer prompts to remind you of things to pray for. And then don't be hesitant at all to use the prayers of saints that have gone before us, because sometimes their words can really give us the words we need.
Mm-hmm.
So I think those can be of help.
Yeah, man, that's good. Well, I think two of my big takeaways, and this first one, I know we didn't have a ton of time to draw out specifically, but several times you talked about praying with thankfulness.
Yes.
Which was such a good, I mean, that's just always a good reminder for me. And then I think also when you were talking about just like, even if it's the 10 billionth time we've had to like repent of this thing, or
yes,
say like, God, I need your help so much, you know, just to keep doing it, because
yes,
yeah, that yeah, like I want my heart to be growing softer, not harder, you know? And I think like, yeah, I just need God's help so much. So anyways, those were really helpful to me. Thanks, Dad. Can you wrap us up?
I'd be glad to. And listeners, we do hope that this is of encouragement to you. Laura and I have been really aware in recording this one that we needed God's help because prayer is so important. And none of us, including Laura and myself, really have this down, and not like have it down as a system, but just have it down in our own understanding of the importance and just privilege that we have to go to our Father and to talk with Him and to throw ourselves upon Him and believe in Him and worship Him. So we hope it's been of help to you. At Leadership Edge, we're doing all that God calls us to do to help Christians to live all of their lives for the rest of their lives for the Lord. And that's built around what we call the Leadership Edge personal vision statement, which is by God's grace to step forward as God's man or woman in our spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. So at Leadership Edge, if we can be of any help to you as you're walking in the Lord, please let us know. And just always remember that the prayerful investment in the life of a young believer is one way God's given you to change the world.
Great. Well, thanks so much, Dad.
Oh, thank you, Laura.
And thanks, listeners, for joining us.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.